Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usually daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
You know, there's something about human beings and standing in line. It seems like so many things we do, we end up standing in a line. We're in a queue. And there seems to be nothing worse than a line breaker. You know, we learn that early on, don't we? Even in preschool and kindergarten and school, where we're no breaking in line. Stay in line. The other day, I was at the grocery store. Peg and I were doing a little grocery shopping, like many of you, replenishing our refrigerators. And I got the duty of standing in the deli line while Peg was doing some other shopping. And as I walked up to the line, I asked the person, I said, "Well, where do we get our number?" You know, the little ticket with the number on it. And they said, "Oh, there are no numbers left. No numbers left, so this is the line." So I got in behind them, and we were standing in line talking. A few minutes later, a fella walks up to the little number box, and there were no numbers there. You couldn't pull one out. He just opens the box up. There's a whole reel of numbers, and he pulls it out and resets it and pulls a number off. So all of us in line without a number are wondering, well, what's going on here? So one person walks over to the man and very politely says, "Excuse me, sir, but, you know, we've all been standing in line over here because there were no numbers, but you fix the machine and have enough." And so the guy goes, "All right." So he just starts ripping off numbers to make sure that everything's in order and we're all in the right place. And everybody had the right number, and we all got served in order. Now, I'm sure some of you were in some lines during the storm. Anybody in line during the storm anywhere? At the grocery store, at the gas pump, out on the highway? As a matter of fact, one of my pet peeves on the highway is when you're in a line and somebody comes zooming up on the right side to jump in the front. I know that bothers none of you. I was at another grocery store just before the storm and rushing to get water, and it was coming right off the pallet as soon as it came out of the storeroom. And I rushed back to see if there was any water. The shelves were empty. I saw the pallet. I got the last case of water off that pallet. Boy, was I breathing easy. Another little story from the storm. You may have read this one in the paper or on the internet about the lady who needed the generator because her father had a medical need for the machinery. And she heard there were generators at a local store, and she went to get one. And she stood in line, and the person in front of her got the last one. And she broke down in tears. And a complete stranger came up to her and asked what was wrong. And he said, "You know, I got one of those generators earlier. You take mine." There's something about lines. There's something about being first. There's something about being last. We seem to have kind of an obsession in our culture with being first. I mean, it's really, really prevalent these days with football season starting and baseball season winding up. We're all wanting to know who has clinched their division, who's going to be in the playoffs in baseball, what are the football rankings, who's ranked number one, who's first, who's last. I find it kind of curious that we never talk about who's last. Does anybody who know who's last in the polls? Or the American League Eastern Division? It's not the race. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, we don't pay much attention to who's last. We're always focusing on who's first. It's very, very prevalent, especially in our sports. As a matter of fact, the only time we really pay any attention to those people at the bottom of the list, the last place teams, are when they beat a first place team or a second place team. And then it's an upset. Reminds me of a few years ago when Georgia Southern beat Florida. I had to get that one in, okay? Well, in many ways, we're dealing with this whole first and last thing that our gospel story talks about. We're dealing with this in a very wide and real cultural way in our culture today. In the United States, around the world, we are dealing with a shift in dynamics in our culture, in which the people who have been first for so long see the people who have been last for so long beginning to be recognized more and to beginning to grow in numbers and to begin expecting more. And so the dominant culture in the Western world for the last 500 years and more, the white Western European culture, is getting uneasy because the rest of the cultures of the world, which far outnumber the white Western European culture, are beginning to gain more influence and more power. And this demographic shift has been taking place all over the world for the past, 50 years or so. Do you know that in about 2030, and these are statistics that come from from the labor department that in 2030, the working middle class of the United States will be predominantly people of color. The majority of our working class will be people of color. Now, white, North American, European, ethnic races will still be the largest group, but people of color, including African Americans, Hispanics, Asians, and others, will make up a majority of the working class in our country in 2013. And by the middle of the century, that same ethnic group will make up a majority of the entire population. These are the trends, these are the dynamics that are going on in our country today. And whether we realize it or not, this is one of the major things behind most of the social and political unrest in our country and the world. Because the people who have been first are realizing that that may be disappearing. It's a lot like this story we heard in the gospel. It's a lot like those first workers. Can you imagine being one of those first workers? And the story says the paymaster started with the last people. And so the paymaster goes to this person who just worked an hour and gives them a full day's wage. And the person over here on who came first is looking down that line saying, "Whoa, wow, if they're getting a full day's wage, I worked all day. I can't wait to see what I'm getting." And then everybody down the line gets the same thing. Everybody gets that full day's wage. And that person who was first starts complaining and grumbling and saying, this is not right. But they're saying it's not right because that person over there got the same thing I did. Nothing was taken from me. I worked a full day and I got a full day's wage. I got exactly what was agreed upon. Nothing was taken, but I'm angry because they got the same thing I did. And in many ways, this is what's happening in the world today. Because to people who are used to being in power, to people who are used to being in power and used to being the majority, equality feels like oppression. Equality feels like oppression. It's not oppression. It just feels like it. So many people who have comfortable lives are saying, "I feel left out. I feel oppressed." And nothing's been taken away. They're feeling this way because somebody else is getting what they've always been getting. And this is one of the dynamics that's going on in this parable. This first shall be last, and last shall be first. It's not a flipping of the poles. What it is, it's a coming together in the middle. It's not that all of a sudden the people who have are not going to have anything. What it is that everybody comes together in the middle. And everybody has enough. You know, we just went through a hurricane. There are more hurricanes out there in the Atlantic that other people have suffered. There have been earthquakes. And in these natural disasters, there's a tendency, no pun intended, of leveling the field. Do you realize where the hurricane, where Irma came ashore the second time after it went through the Keys? Where did it come ashore? It came ashore in one of the most affluent parts of Florida. Where were some of the heaviest winds and water coming in? Some of the most affluent parts of Florida. The 10 most affluent cities in the state of Florida, the 10 most affluent communities were in some form or fashion in the direct path of Irma. So the wealthy get hit by hurricanes and earthquakes the same way as the poor do. Now, because there is some inequality in our socioeconomic culture, the affluent recover much faster than the poor do. Believe me, Marco Island will recover much, much faster than Puerto Rico. And this is the kind of inequality that Jesus is talking about when he tells us this parable. And this is the kind of vision that Jesus is giving us of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a place where the first and the last become the middle, and the middle becomes the whole. And we begin to live together with justice, with equality, with peace, with dignity. We're not going to be able to stop the dynamics that are going forward. The socioeconomic, cultural, racial dynamics of the world are in a major shift. And we're going through some very hard times right now because people like us are not used to sharing this good creation that God gives us. And the sooner we get used to that and adapt to it and begin to live into this vision of the kingdom, the better off we will all be. Amen. My friends, Jesus reminds us that insisting on being first is a dangerous place to be. Because whatever we place first becomes an idol. The very first commandment says, "You will have no other God before me." So if we've got something that we are insisting has to be first, we need to examine it closely. Because it is keeping us from recognizing the last and living into that vision of Jesus, the kingdom that he proclaims. in which we are all one. We are all sisters and brothers, walking humbly with our agreed upon daily wage, which is the grace of God for all of us. Amen.